Dear God, our Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all flesh, thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity this week to share the message of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. Lord, we are thankful for this privilege. We were thankful for this responsibility. Lord, we pray that we fulfill the Great Commission at this particular time in teaching those who are listening those basic Bible truths pertaining to your Son and pertaining to his kingdom, and instruct them, Lord, on what is required of them to be saved. We pray, Lord, that Brother Bishop, in his proclamation of this word, of this gospel, that he stand bold upon those things that he has prepared. We pray, Lord, that he does not add, that he does not subtract. We pray, Lord, that he only speak those things as they become the oracles of what you have given us through inspiration. We pray, Lord, for those who have joined us this evening. Pray, Lord, that their hearts are tender, that their hearts are fertile to receive the seed that will be planted tonight. Pray, Lord, that it is buried deep. Pray, Lord, that it is watered where it can give an increase if it be within your will. Pray, Lord, that someone is seeking the truth this evening. Thank you for placing Brother Bishop in their path. Pray, Lord, he will inform them and let them know what they must do to be saved. Lord, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. I want to thank you for serving with me on this program. We're very thankful to have each and every person tonight, especially those who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. Brother Tommy Brooks, and I want to welcome you to our call. You are VIP. We did put this call on with you in mind. So we encourage you now to take your Bible and open it up and take notes of the things that Brother Bishop will talk about as pertaining to the saving of your soul. Brother Bishop is a friend of mine. He's my neighbor, my friend in Arkansas. He's my co-laborer at the congregation there. We serve together. He's been the full-time minister of Nathan F. Street Church of Christ in Fort Smith, Arkansas since September 2007. So we're thankful to have him on the call tonight. I'm excited to have him. Good to have my friend on again. And I know he's going to preach the truth. And so pay attention. Listen carefully to a good message. The subject, the doctrine of Christ. What does the Bible say, Brother Bishop, about the doctrine of Christ? Tell us that.
I'd like to say greetings to all. Prayerfully, I'm coming through clear this evening. Just want to say thanks to those very briefly who had the vision to put forth such an awesome response to us not being able to conduct gospel meetings this year to the extent that we normally would have. Sometimes a thought or an idea never gets past being a thought or an idea, but our host, the Highland Heights Church of Christ, Brother Brooks, Brother Flanders, Brother Stroud, we are truly indebted to you guys. We thank you for this effort that's been put forth to spread the soul-saving word of the gospel of Christ. As Brother Brooks shared with you in his introduction, I humbly serve as the minister of the Nathan S. Street Church of Christ in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I serve with saints that are near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate each of them and what they bring to the table as we serve together. No, I'm not trying to set them up for a raise. They know what they mean to me, and I know what I mean to them. I just wanted to say that to them. As Paul is known to have said, and I concur or agree, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. To our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, for whom this effort has been primarily directed, we thank you for being on the call, and we thank those who have spread the word about this gospel outreach effort that attracted your attention. I need you to know that they reached out to you because of their love for you and their concern for your soul salvation. Your very soul salvation and their concern is why they reached out to you. My subject for the next few minutes will be, what does the Bible say about the doctrine of Christ? If you will come with me as we look at the text that I will begin and end with tonight, 2 John, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, the elder unto the elect lady and their children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Notice this, verse 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He says in verse 9, which I will focus on this evening, as pertains to what does the Bible say about the doctrine of Christ. John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That should be enough to get every man, woman, boy, and girl's attention. He goes on to say that he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's very sobering. He goes on to say, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Notice how John sees this as being an evil deed just by partaking, by bidding them Godspeed, if they carry not the doctrine of Christ. Now, it's important that we have a clear understanding of what we mean when we say the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine refers to the entire body of essential truths that come from Christ. This word doctrine can be better understood as being the teaching of Christ. What does the Bible say about the teaching of Christ? In our text, John, first of all, gives his motivation, which is love. The same motivation that has brought together multiple gospel preachers from all of this nation and even possibly outside this nation since the beginning of May to bring you the good news of the gospel of Christ. His motivation was love, and our motivation since the first week of May has been the same thing, love. That's what this effort boils down to, love of the soul of man. John goes on to speak about the joy that comes from knowing that many of those he taught are still holding on to the teaching of the gospel message. He reminds them that it is commanded of the Father that they walk in truth, and their love for one another is evidenced by their willingness to continue walking in the truth. The same joy experienced by the many gospel preachers who have come into your homes by way of this conference, gospel call meeting since the beginning of May. John then goes on to give a warning about the deceivers and enemies of the gospel message of Christ who also are out there and how to easily identify them. These men who have been bringing you these messages nightly since the first week of May, the same warning that has come to you since May from the many different gospel preachers taking part in this outreach. John then says to check yourselves because there's a danger of losing out and not receiving your full reward. This same plea is for you to examine yourself as heard from gospel preachers night after night from coast to coast since May by way of your telephone. Then John says what I want to share with you for a few minutes. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The ultimate danger to your soul's salvation exists in your unwillingness to abide in the doctrine of Christ. That word abide means to remain stable or fixed, to conform. The question again, what does the Bible say about the doctrine of Christ? It talks about there is authority or enforcement qualities. The Bible says about the doctrine of Christ, it tells us about the authority or the enforcement qualities. In Matthew chapter 7, if you would turn your Bibles there, and I pray that you have your Bible in some form, either on your phone or on your tablet or your computer, or have an actual hard copy, but whatever you need tonight, make sure you have that in front of you because it's very important. And take notes of the things that I'm saying tonight because they are very important and they are essential to your soul's salvation. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That tells me that the most important thing that we have is our soul. I believe it's important enough that we should take notes anytime God's word is preached. In Matthew chapter 7, speaking of the authority and how the enforcement qualities, beginning at verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then when I profess unto them, Jesus said this, he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He goes on to say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And watch what happens. And the rain descended, same rain, and the floods came, same flood, and the winds blew, same wind, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus entered these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why were they astonished? Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What does the Bible say about the doctrine of Christ? Not only does he bring it by way of authority and is well qualified to talk about this doctrine of Christ, the Bible also talks about how Jesus warned his disciples about the dangers of following the doctrines of men. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 6, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken the bread, which when Jesus received it, said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? He said, Jesus, I'm not talking about bread. He said, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. He said, you got to watch out for the teaching of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but wanting to go somewhere and going or getting to go there is not the same. Let me say that again for clarity. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but wanting to go somewhere and going or getting to go there is not the same. As we venture into our subject tonight, let us start with the authority on the doctrine of Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus says this with authority. He says this with clarity. He says this with plainness. He says this in all of his simplicity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what jumps out at you coming from the mouth of Jesus about this statement? What captured my attention was probably the same thing that just caught your attention if you're hearing this for the first time. Jesus says that not everyone will reach the destination, that destination being heaven. That's eye-opening. But Jesus goes on to tell those who are interested what they need to do. Did it get your attention? It got my attention. It's gotten the attention of many men, many women, many boys, and many girls. Jesus went on to tell them what they had to do. Jesus says you have to do the will of his Father. We're talking about the great God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He goes on to answer that burning question that arises from his previous declaration. I wanted to know. I needed to know. Don't you want to know? Know what, someone may ask? What is the will of the Father? Jesus plainly and simply identified where his doctrine came from and why it carried the weight that it carried, and also that it requires knowing in order to do the will of the Father. In John chapter 7, beginning at verse number 11, turn your Bibles there. John chapter 7, beginning at verse number 11, it says, then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. There goes Jesus teaching. I wonder what he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how know if this man letters having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, watch this now, my teaching, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man would do his will, remember Jesus says, you have to do the will of the Father. It's important that we know what the will of the Father is. He says, if any man would do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, Jesus says they have to know the doctrine. They have to know the teachings. If you are to do the will of the Father, you have to have knowledge. And that comes from Scripture, which is the Word of God. You remember Paul's prayer for Israel in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 2? Paul's prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. He said they had a zeal but lacked knowledge. It went like this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What does it mean to have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge? Let me show you this with you to help you understand this word zeal. Have you ever been fortunate enough to be invited to someone's home for a meal? I mean, I'm talking about someone who was constantly bragging about how good of a cook they were. How when they were in the kitchen, that was their element. They were in charge. They were in control. And finally, because of their bragging, because of them always offering you an invitation to come and partake of a meal that they have personally put together for you, finally, you sit down at their table for that much-anticipated meal. After your first bite, you realize that the person, they can't cook. What was it that they possessed? They possessed a zeal, but what they lacked was knowledge. Paul says, you have to know. 2 Timothy 3:16, verse 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The doctrine comes from God. It is inspired by God. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's profitable for doctrine, the scripture. Listen, friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters, loved ones, following the doctrine of Christ is necessary for your soul salvation as well as those that you have influence with. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. He says, continue in them. Continue in what? The doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What's going to save? Taking heed to the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. There's soul-saving value in abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And there's danger to the health of one's soul in following the doctrines of men. And I stress, following the doctrines of men, there's danger to one's soul. Notice doctrines of men is plural, while the doctrine of Christ is spoken of in the singular form. Let me share with you what I'm referring to. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 9, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, Jesus says, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curse the father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made, watch this, the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Jesus says, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, watch this, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines, with an S, the commandments of men. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has only one doctrine, and this doctrine that's shared with us in his written word is sufficient to provide everything the man needs to know as it relates to who God is and what his will is for man. But notice that Jesus spoke of the doctrines with an S of men. Why would that be the case? Because doctrines of men, they play to the wishes and desires of men. Doctrines of men play to the feelings of men. Doctrines of men play to the likes and dislikes of men. Doctrines of men play to the direction a man chooses to walk or wants to walk. Doctrines of men play to what is popular to men. Doctrines of men play to dreams of men. Doctrines of men play to what makes men feel good. Allow me to show you some contrast to the teaching or doctrine of Christ and the doctrines of men. The apostle taught what Christ instructed them to teach, the doctrine of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, and they that glad of received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The doctrine of Christ teaches that he would build his church. The doctrine that the apostles taught and teaches through God's word is the same as the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine that Christ taught is the doctrine that came forth from the Father. The doctrine of Christ teaches that he would build his church. Show you some contrast near here now. Matthew 16:16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man doctrines will teach you that any church will do. Drive down in the street, do in the neighborhood. The doctrine of Christ teaches that Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for us who believe according to work of his mighty power? which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The doctrines of men teaches some man or some group of men make up the head of the church. They are in charge to say what goes and what does not go. Watch this. The doctrine of Christ teaches that baptism in water is necessary for the remission of sin. Mark 16:15-16 says, and he said unto them, for the remission of sin, excuse me, Mark 16:15-16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew 28:18 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Man doctrines will teach you that you can be baptized if you want to, or if you prefer not to, that's acceptable too. The doctrine of Christ teaches that the saved are added to the church by the Lord. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man doctrine teaches that you can be voted into the church or a church. The doctrine of Christ teaches that one should call no man their father as it relates to religious titles. Matthew 23:8-9 says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. That's why in the Church of Christ we call one another brethren, brother, sister. Nobody's bigger than anybody else. No big eyes, no little ewes. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Man doctrines are complete with examples of in scripture titles in religion. Father, rabbi, reverend. Father, rabbi, reverend. Psalm 111:9 says he has sent redemption unto his people. He's commanded his covenant holy forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's not a title for a man to wear, putting themselves on the same level with God. I call no man reverend. Once I learn the truth, I don't put anybody on the same level with God. And if they told you that wrong, what else have they told you wrong? The doctrine of Christ teaches that the Lord's Supper or communion is to be observed every first day of the week. Acts 20:7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech into midnight. Man doctrine teaches that it can be done once a month, once a quarter, twice a year, special occasions, any time they choose, or you don't have to do it at all. But that's not what the doctrine of Christ teaches. The doctrine of Christ teaches that one can be lost again after becoming a child of God. Hebrews 6:4-6 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. It's possible that you can be saved and then you can be lost. It says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Man doctrines within this teaches that once saved, always saved, and many other things that I don't have time to go into tonight. In fact, I could go on for hours, if time permitted, with examples of the contrast between the doctrine singular of Christ and the doctrines within this of men. But let me close with where we started. 2 John 1, beginning at verse 1 says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. John said, man, I ain't got nothing but love for you. And what we have shared with you and demonstrated to you since the first week of May during this nationwide gospel meeting call effort has been nothing but love. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. He says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. He says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. He says, you got to take a look at yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What are we trying to do? We want you to receive a full reward. We don't want you to just come close to salvation. We don't want you to come into the vicinity of salvation. We want you to obtain salvation and then hold on to that salvation. We want you to receive your full reward. We want you to hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, you got to conform. You got to stay in. And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He that abideth or conforms or stays in place in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He says, if anybody even come to you and don't bring this doctrine, don't receive them to your house, don't bid them Godspeed, don't be a partaker of their evil deeds. If you will be a child of God, you have to be receptive to the doctrine of Christ. In the doctrine of Christ, you will find what you need in order to be pleasing and acceptable to God. You will find what you need to do in order to be in a right relationship with God. You will find what you need in order to get into the state that you need to be in so that you will one day hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Paul said, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. What is this gospel of Christ that Paul is not ashamed of? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, the way you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. The three facts of the gospel are laid out. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, fact number one, it won't change, died for our sins according to the scripture. Fact number two, and that he was buried, it won't change. Fact number three, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. One has to hear this gospel message, how Jesus the Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His Son came and walked among men, came into this world just as you and I came, born of a woman, came into this world, grew up a child to manhood, walked this earth for approximately 33 years. They took him by cruel and wicked hands, and they crucified him, the accursed death, a death that was full of pain and shame. Their intent was to soil his name. If they wanted to ruin somebody's name, put them on that cross and let them die that accursed death. But it backfired on them, because we sing at the cross where I first saw the light. We sing about that cross. We understand the importance of that cross. What they did and what they had in mind completely backfired on them. They intended to destroy his name so that nobody would follow him. But men and women, boys and girls, since A.D. 33, have been following him. They obeyed the gospel of Christ. How does one obey that story? You have to hear that story. You have to believe that story. That gospel story, that gospel message. Be willing to repent of your sins. Be willing to confess that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And what takes place in baptism? Your sins are washed away. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You contact the blood of Christ. You have the answer of a good conscience toward God. An operation takes place. A new creature takes over. That old man is buried in that baptism, in that water grave. And that new creature rises up. And they're added, Acts 2:47, to the church. To the church you can read about in the Bible. It's the bride of Christ. It's his wife. He's coming back for her. You're added to the church of Christ. And Jesus said it this way in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. We pray that this message has reached your heart this evening. we pray that you would take the necessary steps in order to become a child of God. It is our sincere prayer that your question has been answered tonight. What does the Bible say about the doctrine of Christ? I pray that I've done justice to this message, to this subject. You are in our prayers. We love you and we thank you. And at this time, I turn you back over to our host, Brother Tommy Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. And yes, you've done just what we asked you to do, and that is you've told us what the Bible says about the doctrine of Christ. And to our visiting friends who are on the call, we want you to know, as he said, we speak the truth in love. And we believe there are men and women like us who want to just do it God's way. Well, it was Jesus who said, in the end, it's straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, lead to destruction. And unfortunately, many will go that way. But Jesus also said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, lead to life. He said, few there be to find it. Because you've joined our call, we've introduced you to some, the few. The few must know the doctrine of Christ. So if you want to get baptized, want to become a member of the church you can read about in the Bible, ready to stop calling your preacher reverend and father, and just or taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, like you said, do what the Bible said so that your soul will be saved. Many people are dying, y'all. And the Bible is telling us, it told us that the point of the man was to die. Don't die in your sins. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Get back with the person who invited you to this call, and we'll make sure. If you need further teaching, we'll get that taken care of. If you need to get baptized, we'll make sure that happens for you, no matter where you are across this nation. And many are listening tonight. We have a large call tonight, and we want you to know, no matter where you are, we'll get a preacher to you, a teacher to you, teach you the more if you need more. Or email us at the nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make sure that we make those arrangements for you. If you'd like to go back and listen to Brother Bishop's message and any of the messages that we've had since the month of May, go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you can go there and download the flyers, and you can hear the messages over and over, and play them in your car or play them in the radio in your cars and in your house. And just listen to them. But most importantly, at some point you got to obey to be saved. Got to obey to be saved. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your love to the world, giving your Son. And we thank you for him who gave his life on the tree of the cross. He reminded us the greater love than no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. We thank you, God, that we can be his friend and that we must obey him in order to be saved. Thank you for him. Thank you for his blood that washed our sins away in baptism. Thank you for the Spirit who gave us your book called the Bible that we can obey. The Spirit has taught us what we must do. It's given to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the blood that purchased the church of Christ, his bride, his wife. Every wife wears her husband's name. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for this night. Thank you for Brother Bishop. Pray for him, his wife, his family, his ministry, and the congregation he serves. Be with him. Continue to bless his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Thanks to those who have provided financial support to us, even though we didn't ask you. We thank you so very much for your donation. We promise you we'll use it to the use of the gospel meeting call. You're so nice. If there are others who are interested in maybe helping out, that'd be fun as well. We do not solicit funds, but people are volunteering, so why not? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. We love you all. I pray you go to sleep tonight and sleep well, sleep peacefully. May God bless. We love you.